Braemar, Psalm 51.
Bill Clark, what was you saying to me a while ago? Sorry, I can't read it.
You said pray for something. Oh, yes. Sorry. I can't read lips very well. Liz didn't come out. So, yes, do pray for Miss Liz. I forgot to mention this morning as she has a fractured ankle there. They were in a car accident this past week. And pray for you, Miss Liz, and pray that God heals her and that Brother Tim treats her well during this. Amen. And he was in the car with her, and he's just dealing with some soreness and stuff. So we thank the Lord for his protective hand over them. And we do thank the Lord for that. Psalm 51. This morning we talked about the road to revival. Tonight we'll talk about the road of revival. The road of revival. And we'll finish the chapter tonight. This morning we read Psalm 51 verses 1 through 9. Tonight we'll read 10 through the end of the chapter, verse 19. And I appreciate you coming out on Sunday night. And I'm looking forward to revival next week. Please don't forget it. Starting Sunday morning, Dr. Getch is an amazing preacher. Pastor's told you how many verses he has memorized, and God blesses him because of that. And we want you to hear. By the way, when I was in evangelism, I kind of got discouraged there about 2 months or so into it and going to churches and really not seeing a lot of people saved. And I had another preacher pull me aside, and I just told him, I said, well, I'm just kind of discouraged. I feel like there's not people getting saved. He said, well, he says, if you're called to do a revival, he says, it's called a reviving. It's not called a viving. It's called a reviving. Really, when we have a revival, it's not necessarily that we want to see a lot of folks, and we do. We always want to see people saved. But that's not our primary objective in a revival. Revival is for the church. It's for us. That we need reviving. That we come to a point in our life where we see that we have digressed in our life, that we have maybe taken our foot off the gas pedal, and we're saying, look, we need reviving. We need to be brought back to life again. And so tonight we'll kind of deal with that road on revival, the road of revival. Notice, if you will, verse 10, the Bible says, David again crying out because of the sin. And this morning we talked about the appeal that he made for mercy in verse 1. We talked about the acknowledgement of his sin, verse 3. And then also the abandonment of his sin. He walked away from it. And he says here in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and here it is, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, notice that word, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I'd give it. Thou delightest not in the burnt offerings, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure, and unto Zion build thou the walls of Jerusalem. By the way, I've looked at this verse 100 times, and I was like, what does that mean? Build thou the wall. I began to study that a couple of weeks ago, and it's basically David saying, rebuild my kingdom that I've allowed to slip, that we've allowed the enemy to come in because of the king. By the way, if the leader of the churches across the world are living in sin, the walls of the churches will be torn down. And guess what happens? The world infiltrates our churches. The person you ought to be praying for the most is your pastor. You ought to be praying for your pastor, Eric Crawford, and pray for his wife. Because you know what? If our pastor allows things into his life, or I myself, or any of our staff, or any of us so far, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a phone call from heaven. And God's going to get on to you, right? And see? But here's the thing in life today is that if we are not praying for our pastor, if we're not praying for our leaders, by the way, you ought to pray for your president. He's not my president. Well, you're an American. He's your president. Whether you like it or not. You know? I mean, I didn't say that when Obama was in office. He was my president. And I prayed for Obama. I prayed for I prayed for all of them that have been our presidents. And guess what? That's the only thing that changes is prayer. It had nothing to do with the message. Verse 19 says, "Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, and they shall shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." After we pray tonight, let's talk about the road of revival. Father, we love you. And again, God, we ask that you would come in presence and power today, that you would just show up tonight in such a way that, Lord, we could say, we know that you've been here in this house. And Father, we pray, as we come to you, we offer our lives to you. And Lord, I have nothing that I could say tonight that would ever change a life. But Lord, you can speak through me and change lives. And so, Father, I yield myself to you, to your Holy Spirit, to your Word. And I ask that you do that only which you can do. And God, I praise you and I give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I want to give you three things. Three things. I want you to notice in verse 10 again, if you will. I want to talk about the road of revival. I think also, too, is that When we deal with sin, we have to deal with sin on a daily basis. Everybody agree with that? Yeah. Sin, I'm telling you, if you let it go a day, it'll start accumulating in your life. And see, here's the problem a lot of times. Remember, I have my bag out here today, and sometimes people think, well, what is sin? And I ask kids at VBS, they come down, the first question I always ask kids, well, what is sin? And some of them can tell you, this is sin. But I think sometimes in Christianity, we think, well, murder's sin, that stealing is sin. But can I say a bad attitude's sin too? Wrong motives is a sin. Gossiping is a sin. Hello? We could say we're not with sin, but we would be lying, because we are all with sin. We all deal with sin in our life, and if you allow it to pile up, and you allow it to pile up, your heart's going to get callous, it's going to get cold for long, and there's a lot of telltale signs of that. Number one, you don't feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Second of all, the preaching grows cold to you. I didn't get nothing out of that. Yeah, you ain't going to get nothing out of it until you get right with the Lord. Hello? No. And then the second thing that's going to happen is that you're going to neglect your Bible. The Bible either keeps you from sin, or sin keeps you from the Bible. And then here's the sad one. You'll not have a desire to pray to a holy God. Lord, help us if we ever get so callous that we don't want to talk to our Heavenly Father. How would that work in marriage? That wouldn't work out too good. Listen, in our life, we grow colder when sin builds up in our life. Well, what do we do with it? Well, this morning I told you, get rid of it. Abandon it. Christ said that He's willing to forgive you of all your sin. But He's faithful and just. Somebody gave me this, and I'll give it to you. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Okay? That's things we know. That's things we know that we can name. And then He says to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the things that maybe that we don't know. Hey, listen, He's going to forgive you. You ever sit down and you try to start naming your sins, and then some things you just forget that you've done? Listen, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even the things maybe you don't mention, He's willing to cleanse you of those things. That's a good God. There's no sin that you can commit that God goes, that's a little too much. I'm glad that it's not that way. So tonight, the road of revival, I got to get to it. Number one, I want you to notice verse 10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Number one, it's about renewing. The road of revival is about renewing. It's about renewing. And by the way, we should always, when we experience revival in our life, I'm trying to get to tonight is to tell you how to remain in revival. You see, what used to break my heart is that taking youth to camp, letting them come back, give their testimony, woohoo. And then there's parents and friends and stuff that then the kids, they've lost it. Well, you know what? I'm very thankful for our youth. And by the way, it's the same with us. We have a revival meeting the week of revival. We're like, I'm going to start doing this, this, and this, and this, and this. Oh, that's too much. Well, how do we stay on that road to revival? It's about renewing. What is our theme this year? It's a renew. We're to renew ourselves. We're to renew ourselves how many times? Every day. Notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet in the inward man is renewed day by day." Every day you're going to have to get up and say, "Lord, create in me a clean heart." Lord, would you renew a right spirit within me? What does he mean by that, by the way? What is that? It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about who and what you are. By the way, I, as Michael Wiggins, have to be renewed every day. And so do you. Amen. That renewing every day. You know what? All of us, we hate whenever our cars are up for what? Renewal. That simply means I'm going to have to write a check to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Somebody say amen. And then Texas says, well, we're going to make it a little harder on you. You got to go put a tag on the front and the back, and you got to get it inspected. Never heard that a day in my life in Florida. They don't care if your muffler's dragging the ground, you still can drive in Florida. And now we got to get our trailers inspected and tractors inspected and four-wheelers and things. I'm shaking my head because I just remembered my truck registry goes out tomorrow. And what's funny is that the Suburban went out last month. And I just take my checkbook and just write them here, fill it out. I don't care. But you have to renew your vehicle, right? Yeah. Why is that? Because somebody needs money. We really don't know why we do that, to be honest with you. But in our life, we have to renew it day by day. I have to wake up in the morning and I have to say no to Michael Wiggins. I have to say, Michael Wiggins, this is not about you. Michael Wiggins, it's not your day. This is God's day, and you are bought with a price. You are not your own. Because if not, I will want to bring glory to myself. I will want to accomplish my own will. But I'm telling you, when I start a morning on my knees saying, God, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit in me. Why? You ever been around somebody you just said, boy, they have a bad spirit? I've been around those people. I've probably been that person. Pastor always says he likes to avoid negative people. I don't know how he ever hangs out with me. You know? Sometimes I can get so negative, and I don't know why. It seems like everything goes my way. Ephesians says this. He says, Ephesians 4:23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's who and what you are. It's right here. I have to wake up in the morning reminding myself that I'm saved. Amen. I have to renew myself by saying, you know what? It is not my day. It is not my will. It is God's will. If you want to keep camp life going, you have to renew yourself every day. You can't just live on that week that you were at camp and say, that's good enough to last me all week. And listen, we can pick on them, but here's the thing is that you say, boy, those 4 days of revival that we're going to have, that's going to get me through the rest of the year. No, it's not. It'll get you to Thursday, and then you got to start feeding yourself. That's why I love Wednesday night church, because it's in the point of my week where I need to come and plug my batteries back up. Amen. I need that renewing. I need to be reminded that I need renewing. Here's what David said also in verse 11. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know what he was scared of? 1 Samuel 16:14 says this about Saul. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. See, David didn't want to be like Saul. He saw what happened when the Spirit of... Now, in the Old Testament, we know the Spirit came upon them. We know that it was before the time that they understood of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so David said, Lord, don't take it from me. I need your Holy Spirit. In other words, Lord, I need you. He said, Lord, don't cast me out of thy presence. You ever feel like you're not in the presence of God? That's a scary place to be, isn't it? But David said, renewing me. Second thing, it's about restoring. He says it in verse 12. Notice what he says. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, restore unto me. Now read that verse, because it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's not our salvation. We just get to be part of it. It is His salvation that He has saved us with. It is His Son that He gave for us. And that He says, I want to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What is it about being in revival, staying in revival? It's about renewing every day. But also it's about restoring. things in our life. What should we restore? We should restore the joy of thy salvation. You know the problem with me and you, and you and me, is this. We forget where we were. Amen. Scares me every time I get in front of that monitor. We forget that he brought us up out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, and set our feet on a rock. We forget, the longer sometimes we're saved, and I've been saved since 1994, July of 1994, that's a long period of time. And can I say this, is that I need that day to start with me restoring the joy that came from that salvation that the Lord gave me. Listen, you know what happens when sin comes in? It steals that joy. When you put enough sin in your life and when you put enough world in your life, by the way, the Bible says this, is that to be friends with the world is to be at enmity with God. That means to be separated from God. That means to be from His presence, so to speak. Now, we understand He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but listen, you can walk away. Now, God sees everything. But I don't know about you, but I want to be nestled underneath the presence of God. That way, if He says, Michael, I need you to do this, I'm like, yes, sir. Right? It's about restoring. Psalm 23:3, most of you know this, he says, He restoreth my soul. Boy, don't we need that time of restoring? That time of renewing, restoring. David wanted to get back to the joy that sin had taken away in his life. He wanted to get back to the time before he was miserable because of sin. He wanted to get back to the time where God was using his life, where God was allowing him to build a kingdom. But we understand that through sin, David was not able to build that kingdom the way he wanted to. Solomon, his son, would have to come and build that because sin came in. But listen, God blessed David. God had done some great things through David. But can I tell you is that David said, I want you to restore my joy. Some of the saddest people you'll ever meet are backslidden Christians. Oh, I don't like hanging around them. They are, you know what I've learned about backslidden Christians? Everything is God's fault. You ever notice that? I just don't know why God's doing this to us. I just don't know why we're having to go through this. Why is God being so mean to us? God's not a bully up there going, you know? God's trying to get you to the point where you can renew and restore some things in your life. Let me give you the last thing. It's about refreshing. Notice verse 13 through verse 19. It's about refreshing. By the way, the time of revival should be a refreshing time to you. It should be a time where that we come and we're refreshed in the Lord. We're refreshed in some things. Notice what he says. He says in verse 13, he says, then. He said, after I'm renewed and after some restoring, then there comes some refreshing of things. I don't know a lot about computers, but I do know this one thing because Lada tells me this all the time. Well, you got to refresh that page. Well, why do I got to refresh that page? Because you let it sit too long. Without any activity. I love when people say things to me that makes a sermon. I still don't understand what he was saying, but I understand it in a biblical sense. All I know is that I have to refresh that page. In other words, I have to go back to where I'm being productive. I have to go back to where I'm being active. And as Christians, when we allow sin to enter in our life, the one thing it hinders in our life is our productivity and our activeness in the Lord. Amen? I promise you, I'm not a psychic, okay? I'm not a medium. I'm not a large or an extra large. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You show me somebody who skips out on the things of God, and I'll show you somebody who's backslidden. You show me somebody that never opens their Bible, I'll show you somebody that's backslidden. There's tall-tale signs of backslidden in our life. There's no enjoyment of coming to church. By the way, sometimes on Sunday morning, people look like they were drug here. I mean, I stand in the back sometimes to shake hands, and I just love watching people. Some people are like, I'm glad that's over with. You ever been like that? I've been like that too. Preacher preached 2 hours, and I'm like, man, I'm glad that thing's over with. Lost me after 15 minutes. You know what? Because if you're backslidden, cold, and indifferent, you don't want to hear the Word of God preached. You'd rather put your earbuds in and listen to music. Not good music either. You'd rather go home and watch some game on TV than hear the preaching of God's Word. We have to get to the point where the preaching of God's Word and the singing of these songs that we sing are refreshing to us. Just as if you had run a marathon, and at the end of that marathon, in this hot heat out here, there was a cool glass of water waiting on you, and you drink that water, and it's refreshing to you. We've been moving this week, and I'm glad we picked the hottest week of the year. I'm supposed to have a stress test done here in a couple weeks. I've canceled it because I've done it myself. I moved my whole house in 2 days, and I didn't die. So I think my heart's good. And I was out there, and I'm telling you, we were moving everything from our house. So when we moved everything from our house, we took our refrigerator out of there, which had filtered water in it. And we had no bottled water, and I'm not drinking Fort Worth City water out of the tap. Just not going to do it. I love my life a little bit too much for that. So I'm sitting there, and me and Brody's moving boxes. I mean, it's you know, like 632 degrees outside. And I come inside up in the refrigerator, I'm like, uh-oh. That is a horrifying feeling whenever you're that thirsty and there's nothing there to drink. There was a lot of things in the refrigerator, but there was nothing to drink. So I did what all safe people do. We made a Sonic run. And we went to Chick-fil-A and I got lunch, and I told the lady, or the guy, I said, give me the biggest drink you have, the diet lemonade. Oh, I love their diet lemonade. It's better than the regular lemonade. And so they come out, and Brody's like, good night, Dad. You that thirsty? I said, yes. I took that top off because sissies use straws. Amen. And I took that, and I mean, I'm telling you, I wore half of it and drank the other half. Man, I'm telling you what, I love whenever you can feel it going down. Boy, that was so refreshing. Me and Brody was laughing at each other because, like, their drinks were like this big, you know, and mine looked like you could carry it on a wheelbarrow. I didn't know they had that big of a drink there. But it was so refreshing to drink that. And the Christian life should be more refreshing than water we drink physically. It should be refreshing to our soul and to our hearts and to our lives. Notice what else he says here. Notice he said, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In other words, he says, I'll be a witness. You show me somebody that tells others about Christ, I'll show you somebody who has been renewed and who has been restored, and they're finding it refreshing to go out and tell others about Christ. Notice the next thing. He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. In other words, he says, I'm going to cry out, but here it is. He says, I have a new song in my mouth, and I'm not ashamed of it. Are you saying, I'm not ashamed to praise the name of Jesus? I think it's the name of the song. Love that song. You show me somebody that's ashamed, and I'll show you somebody that's backslidden. David said here, he said, I will sing. I love what he says. I will sing aloud. If there was anybody that understood music, it was David. As the music director here at Heritage, one thing that breaks my heart is when we stand and sing and we see a lot of people that don't sing. Well, it breaks my heart. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying we ought to find it refreshing to open up that old hymn book and begin to sing those songs that should renew us and restore us and help us to remind us to where we were and where we are today. I know there's things that go on sometimes during the singing. Sorry, I'm not bashing you. Don't think I'm doing that. But I'm saying this is what David said. He said, my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. Now notice the next thing. He says this. He says, in verse 15, he says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He restores, he refines a praise, refreshing. Notice what else he says here. In verse 16, he says, for thou desirest not the sacrifices, or else I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. But here's what he delights in right here. He says, the sacrifices of God are two things, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. That's a promise of God. You see, Christianity doesn't make sense if you try to figure it out in the flesh. Because Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Yeah. That doesn't make sense to our human nature. But he also says, the broken shall be healed. The ones who have a contrite heart, their heart that has been smitten, those are the ones I'm going to talk to, and that's the ones I'm going to use. You know who those people are that have a broken and a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart? They're these people. They're called the humble. God loves humility. By the way, He giveth grace unto the humble. I want to be a humble person. You know what a humble person is? A humble person is not this person. I'm so humble. That's not a humble person. A humble person says, I can't do it, but God can. It's refreshing. Notice what else he says in verse 19. He said then, now he said up earlier, he says, thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Then in verse 19 he says, shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness? Whoa, wait a minute. What is he saying there? Well, I skipped the first word. First word of verse 19 is what? Then. What does that mean? It means it's hinging on the things that happened before it. You see, sometimes we want to, the sacrifices to us are the works of our salvation, right? The works that accompany after we're saved, we're to work for Christ. It is the outward expression of an inward transaction that's taking place. Sometimes we try to say, well, if I do enough good things, in other words, if I'm busy enough, then God's going to be pleased with me. David said, no, wait a minute, that's not how it works. How it works is that I have to go through these things. I have to renew and restore and find things refreshing and allow God to refresh my praise and God to refresh my spirit and my heart. And after those things, then after I get my life right with Him, guess what I can do? I can go out and serve Him. You see, we try to get those backwards. As we say in the South, you try to get the cart before the horse. And that doesn't work too well. See, God said then, notice verse 19, He said, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. See, He didn't say righteousness in verse 16. Verse 16 was just formality. In other words, God's not pleased with you just coming to church. You think just because you come to church that God's up there on the whiteboard of heaven going, man, they're good people. Just because you walk into the doctor's office and sign the sheet and walk back out doesn't mean you did what you're supposed to do. But just because you come to church, just because you come to Sunday school, that doesn't mean, I'm a good person. No. Here it is. You've got to take care of the sin in your life first. Now, coming to church is a great place to be. Amen. I found a lot of help in church. Don't miss church. Amen. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Stay in church. But here's the thing, is that David said, thou shalt be pleased. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. He said there's a method to the madness of God, of how He works things out in our life, is that we ought to come to Him asking for forgiveness, get renewed in our life, get restored, and then we get refreshed in the things we ought to know we ought to be doing. The greatest sacrifice you can offer to God, guess what it is you. To offer your life as a living sacrifice unto God. See, we want revival. I believe the desire of most people is to have revival. I do believe that. I believe we want to see revival. But I believe also, too, our desire to be is to remain in revival. We shouldn't have revival once a year. You see what I'm saying? We too many times contribute revival with revival meeting. When revival's over Wednesday night, revival is over. We're going to have camp Monday through Saturday. When camp's over, it's over. No. You can remain in camp. You can remain in revival. You just have to get up and renew yourself every day. You have to ask God to restore the things in your life, the joy of thy salvation in your life. And then you find things refreshing. You refresh things in your life. You refresh your praise. You refresh your humbleness to Him. You refresh your witness for others. You refresh those things in your life. And you offer your life as a sacrifice on the altar of God. See, a lot of times, we think revival is two things. I show up and a preacher shows up and we had revival. But see, that's not two things that you need for revival. Those are part of it. But we need God to show up. Now, He's always here. Pastor always says that, but we want Him to make Himself evident among us. How does He do that? By smoting hearts. How about you? But I think back on my life sometimes, and scary thing to do sometimes. And I think, where was I 10 years ago and where am I today? Am I a better father today than I was 10 years ago? Am I a better husband? But greater than all that, am I a better Christian today than I was 10 years ago? And you know what? Thanks be unto God, I would say, yes, I am. I would say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to mature in your word. And by the way, this is what transforms life. This is what renews us day by day. This is our guidebook. This is our rule book. And when we read the Word of God and the Spirit of God changes us, it helps us to be renewed. It cleans our heart. It renews our spirit in our life. Listen, and I don't know about you, but I think we can have revival and remain in revival. I don't think we can end it on Wednesday night and say, well, that was pretty good. You know how we judge revival too? About how good the sermons were. Well, his Monday night one was okay, but that Wednesday night one was really good. And then you talk to somebody else, they said, well, Monday night was really good, Wednesday night was all right. It's amazing how God speaks to us on different nights, isn't it? And you know, certain sermons just hit you, right? You know, but here's the thing is that we ought to find them all refreshing. All the messages. Lord, how can you change me? But too many times, Michael Wiggins shows up for a revival. He comes down here to the altar, and he gets on his face. I don't like to come down here. It's scary down here. It's like the swamp that we're supposed to drain. I come down here, and I say, Lord, we need revival. By the way, we need revival. But you know what God has showed me through the years? Is that I do this now. Lord, I need revival. When you make it personal with God, when you say, Lord, it's me that needs revival, I'm going to tell you what, that gets God's attention. Now, I pray for a revival for our church, but you know what? If I pray for revival, Brother Tim prays for revival, Brother Tracy prays for revival, Brother Chad prays for revival, you know what? Our church is going to see revival. Because if we don't see revival, as Leonard Ravenhill says, we'll see a funeral. We'll see a church that will begin to die. By the way, I think we have the greatest church in the world. I really do. I've been all over the world preaching a lot of different churches. I thank God for that. And I'm going to tell you, there's great churches everywhere. But I've never felt more at home than I have here at Heritage. But I want to tell you what. If we're not careful, we can lose that. And we can begin to lose the fire that God has put at Heritage Baptist. You know what? People are attracted to fire. When I used to be in the fire department, a house burned down, we'd have more people around than we knew what to do with. You know what? People are attracted to that. But I'll tell you what, people are attracted to Heritage Baptist Church, I believe, for one reason, and I hope that it's not our programs and buildings and things like that. I hope it's because the Lord's presence is here. And how do we keep revival in our church? Renew, restore, and refresh. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father, we love you tonight. And we thank you for loving us and thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we'll enter the time of revival meeting starting Sunday. And Lord, it'll all be in vain if we're not ready. If there's sin in our life, Lord, help us not to wait till Sunday to come and get sin out of our life. Lord, help us to do it tonight. Help us to prepare tonight for the road to revival. But God, once we enter into this week of revival, and Lord, you're speaking through us, through your preacher, and through your Holy Spirit, I pray you'd help us to remain in revival. God, that I pray that you'd help these young people that are here tonight that went to camp. I pray that you would help them, Lord, to stay in that camp mode, Lord, throughout this year. I pray, God, that you would continue to renew and restore and refresh our lives. And God, I love you, and I ask you to bless this invitation in Jesus' name.